Don't forget about it.
I already forgot about the intro. It will just be an outro. What is up,
you
guys?
Fucked it up.
What is up, everyone? The episode you've all been waiting for. We're actually going to talk the madness that is transfers. Dave's ready. He's got the Lukaku in the background. I know Hristo's always ready. Yeah, let's just go ahead and get into it. Dave, how you been, man? I know you've been keeping up with Italy, Argentina. I've been good, bro.
I've been good since the last episode that we did, where we pretty much wrapped up that season. Bittersweet season, so it's kind of like in the back window right now. You know, I'm not really thinking about it. It's time to really start looking forward of the possibilities of next year, and that's the kind of stuff I like, man. Despite all the rumors, there's going to be a lot of fake news, a lot of clickbait that we're going to fall for. But I do like Mercado season, where we could actually see the team take shape and we could start projecting what we could do. So, yeah, I feel good, man. How you guys feeling?
Yeah. I mean, I'm chilling. This is a fun time of year for me because one of my favorite movies of all time is Moneyball, the baseball movie where it's, you know, it's all the moves. Yeah, with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill, just all the moves. I mean, it's the time of the year where everyone is on the same amount of points and anything's possible. So, I mean, it's just always fun to speculate.
Yeah. I mean, since it's like a Fantacastle episode, we don't have any limits. I'm sure we're gonna put our financial hats on and kind of laugh at the cuzzles a little bit because of what's coming out, you know? So,
their new ownership there's some stuff going on there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of soon for us to really delve into it, but the initial reports are not too good, man. It's like, it sounds like Elliot just dumped them on them and knows that they're not going to be able to pay them back, and they're going to pretty much repossess them after a certain amount of time because in order for them to complete the purchase, they had to take $800 million loan from Elliot. Right. And then they had to take another $200 million loan from, JP Morgan. And then the rest was their cash, which was like 300, you know, so
it's a loan shark deal.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. So it's like you're starting off in what about $1 billion debt, you know, if the reports are true, you know, but I don't know. When you think about it, like, it's just something that works in Elliot's favor. So that's why they would make that deal. But I don't know, man. I guess let's wait till it develops, and I'm sure we'll know much more. And our guy Bernard, I want to see what he has to say about that as well.
Yeah. We got to get all our finance guys in here because I know I'm not a finance guy. I can look at some numbers, but I don't know what they mean. But Hristo, you've been relatively quiet. What's up? Give us something.
Not much. I'm just listening to you guys ramble, and I'm just ready to start the episode off by, you know, celebrating the third birthday of the podcast, of the community that we have created, in a sense. So,
yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. 3 years. I remember we started, we were only audio. I remember being very nervous. I remember also resisting the move to showing my face for the longest time, but yeah, it's here we are. You know, we made it through a hell of a lot. I mean, we've made it through a pandemic season, we've made it through a Scudetto, we've made it through a season kind of getting back to normal, but you know, I mean, we had last summer as well. There's been no shortage of ups and downs, and I'm sure there are going to be plenty more even just this summer. So,
you know. Yeah. The first episode that we recorded was like a week after the win against Empoli, I think, in the last round. The drama win, the D'Ambrosio clearing off the line, the Keita, Balde getting a red card.
Canceling out Brozo's late winner. I mean, well, late goal that would have put us away 3-1. Yeah. I remember listening to that episode. You guys, of course, you guys started off with, I believe, Mikey, Risto, and Chino.
Yeah, shout out Chino.
Shout out Chino, absolutely. Shout out Chino. That was before I was on, and I definitely listened to the episode. I remember you guys were promoting it as a new podcast. And, I mean, not only seeing that it's been 3 years now, which is a big, which is to me, it's a big milestone. You guys, we should definitely be proud of ourselves. And also seeing that I'm a part of it now, as well as like seeing how things develop, I'm very happy to be part of the journey. And I feel like we can make a lot happen with this.
Yeah, yeah, it's one big fun family, you know, brothers of the world. I mean, we hold true to the name, so can't ask for much more there.
It all started like I know me and Chino actually spoke about and like a podcast idea back in like 2018, the same like I think it was June, and we started recording like an episode, or we started to talk to each other, and it was missing something. And that something turned out to be, you know, Mike, after a year, and it all started then. It's been an amazing journey. We started off, as Mike said, as an audio podcast. We edited the podcast on Audacity, and, you know, spending so much time on that. So I spoke to Mike about, you know, going to YouTube, because it was just easier and more enjoyable to see someone, like the person that you're talking to engage the situation, the environment, the interaction, life. So all in all, it was a great great move. Proud of everything that we've done so far, and yeah, to many more, and to create even better community, because this is a podcast to all of us. That was the idea when we started off. We knew other podcasts that, you know, either were not inviting people or were not that inclusive, or just, you know, they weren't us, let's say. But yeah, too many more, and hopefully we can, you know, talk about the players that are living, the players that will arrive within the next few weeks, months. So what's better way to start than actually one of the best players leaving the club, as we discussed last episode, the second best player of the past season, Mike Dave, Perišić to Tottenham. What's up?
It is what it is. I think we've known he wanted to go for a long time. Yeah, we were prepared for it. You got Gosens. I mean, I think that was the best preparation you could have. That's really all I had for it. I saw it coming. I didn't think it was going to be.
I mean, honestly, I can't say that I saw it coming, because, you know, there were some positivity. There was some positivity towards that last week, you know, until it became clear that he was going to go to Tottenham. Remember, it was even announced that he had signed with Chelsea at some point, and then it became Juve, you know. So all throughout this, I knew that it wasn't anything concrete, because I knew that he probably was going to re-sign with us. And to hear that we made him an improved offer, because let's be honest, think about it. At the beginning of the season, I'm sure Beppe and Auxilio, they look at the player sheet, and they look at the contracts that are expiring, and they see Perišić there, 34 years old, 33 is about to be 34. I'm sure their thoughts was probably, okay, you know what, we're going to get ready to offer him probably a one-year renewal at the same price, I mean, at the same money that he's making, or even at a discount, you know, because that's usually what you do to older players, 33, 34. Of course, he played his ass out. And I'm glad to see that the club, we pivoted and we made an offer of 5 million plus one in bonuses. That's about 6 million. That's a major salary that we offered to Perišić. Despite that, he still decided to leave. So we all know that he wanted to go to the EPL and try it out. But as I was saying on Twitter, I'm kind of indifferent to it, because once you leave, especially if we were trying to keep you and you left, especially to go join Conte, who left us in not the best circumstances last year. I'm just going to watch, and I'm not going to wish him too much success, but I'm not going to hate on him too much either. So I guess I'm indifferent.
Yeah, when players leave Inter, I never typically follow where they go. I've never been that kind of fan, you know. I just... Mm-hmm. This is the club that I support. I'm going to support the players at the club. Once they're gone, if they leave on at least decent terms, yeah, I mean, I hope they can go prove why, you know, they are good players. Like, I mean, Perišić has an axe to grind, especially after the whole what are they smoking at San Siro and all of that happened years ago. So I hope he could prove some people wrong there. But, yeah, at the end of the day, he's not an Inter player anymore, and – I'm not gonna know too much about him going after that. Hristo, I know you had a theory about that, saying that he was going to possibly regress after playing for a contract this season. Do you still think that's possible?
Oh, definitely. I do think that. You know, we know Perisic because Perisic has been at the club for like a lot of years now. He's a quality player, but the biggest downside, even when we signed him, and even after he scored goals and assists for the club, was his inconsistency. That was it. He was always a good player, a usable player, but he is inconsistent as fuck. And I don't think you can become a consistent player at 33, 34. It ain't happen for a season. We've seen players do that for a season or two. But in the grand scheme of things, he was always a good player. A good, usable player. That's it. Nothing major, nothing smaller. Him playing this good when he needed to get the last contract out of his way and to, you know, to cash in on the brink of his career is something that every player does or tries to do. And he just succeeded. The environment was good. The experience that he got at Bayern was amazing. Then Conte treated him right. You know, we know how bad he was at the beginning of his tenure at Inter when it comes to left wing back. Then Conte switched him to striker. And it was Conte who said, Perisic is not able to play neither left wing back nor a striker. Went to Bayern, won everything that he won, came back, he was amazing. There's no denying that. Him playing this good, maybe for a contract year and for a final contract. As Dave pointed out, and I've said it last episode, I'm not convinced by giving him that much money. You lose him, yeah, but his resale value is basically zero either way because he's old. Yeah, so either way, you got the best out of him. You won trophies. You nearly won the Scudetto again. And Gosens was, you know, the dream signing. Even if you asked us last season, every single one of us would have said Gosens. And we got Gosens. Gosens got to play a few matches this season. He was injured. He's coming off of a major injury throughout the season. And just get him fit, rehabilitate him, and just put him in the team next season. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think we'll regret the decision because it's good for both sides. We got the placement that we wanted. Younger, I think overall a better fit and a better player for that position. I don't know what you guys think, but yeah.
Gosens definitely put up some crazy numbers at Atalanta at his peak, but I feel like Paris has showed us a level this year. He was probably the best wingback in the world, in my opinion. You know, I'm saying this without really thinking too much. Maybe Cancelo, maybe I could think. Hakimi Dale? Didn't have Dale was not a wingback. I'm saying like wingback.
We can look at the average position. I think he is a left back, but he was the major threat for Milan because Leao was cutting inside as an inside forward and
No, I'm talking about teams that play like three at the back, and you know for sure this guy is the wing back on the left. You know, in the world, I feel like Perisic was probably the best this season. So I feel like the level that he showed us, if it is something that he found a late consistency in his career and that's who he's going to be, then yeah, I feel like we still have a very good player in Gosens, but not quite as good as Perisic showed he could be this year. Because Perisic, don't forget, he's a guy like left, right, the same thing. He could either cut on the inside or take you on the wing. And he's a guy that you could pass the ball to and help and let him go take on his man one-on-one with his stepovers and stuff like that. Gosens does not have all that in his game. Gosens is a guy that he's going to make very good runs. He's going to make very well-timed runs, and if you put him in space, he got the pace, he could chase the ball and puts great balls in, and he's very good at finishing as well. But I still feel like Perisic, especially what we saw this year, is a better player. It doesn't mean that we're in a bad position, because Gosens is still it's still a young player that could show some potential. 27, 28. You could still show another level. Who knows? Perisic just did.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pull up some stats. I want to see this comparison. I'm not going to use this past season of Gosens because that's not fair to him because of his injuries. I think 20. What season would you consider his peak so far?
Well, good question. 2 years ago, actually, he had amazing numbers, and actually, the season before this season that just passed, yeah, and then the one before that, you could take those two because he had similar numbers. I think he put up about 20 goals and assists total, 20, I think.
Yeah, last season, I'm looking at just last season, because then he went into the Euros and had a goal and two assists in the Euros. In Serie A, he had 11 goals, 6 assists. Over all competitions, he had 12 goals, 8 assists. This season, Perisic had 10 goals, 9 assists, all competitions.
Okay.
So, I mean,
can you look at the season before that for Gosens? Because I think he had another crazy season.
Yeah, that was the pandemic divided season. He had 10 goals, 8 assists. So he's been pretty consistent around 18 to 20 goal contributions as long as he's fit.
That's crazy. And it feels like Perisic gave us more, doesn't it? I don't know why. You know, Perisic barely got 19. So that's crazy to think that we have a player now that's replacing him that's put up bigger numbers than that 2 seasons in a row.
The big thing for me with Perisic has been we think of seeing him more because he's the guy that was driving this team forward. He was the dribbler. He was, you know, making plays on the flank. You know, Dumfries wasn't really doing that. We didn't get to see Gosens doing that. Gosens isn't as much of a dribbler, I don't think. So I think that may be somewhere we miss. We're going to have to find someone else who's going to drive the ball up the pitch when we need someone to, you know, relieve pressure or just, you know, get in transition. We're going to have to find somebody who's going to do that, I think. I think that's going to be something that we're going to have to look at.
You're saying, Mikey? What are you saying? Huh?
We need a ball carrier.
I can see that.
Okay. I see now.
I'm sorry.
No, but yeah, to go back, I guess that's a natural progression to talking about Lukaku, which is quite funny because when we first started the podcast 3 years ago, I think that was still the name on everybody's mouths trying to get to Inter. We spent most of that summer talking about that guy. And I think that's a possibility again, which I don't think any of us were expecting, you know, 6 months ago. It seems he's willing to take the pay cut, and it's just up to Chelsea's new management. I'll take him back in a heartbeat. I have no shame. how do you guys feel?
I can see the jersey, so just.
I mean, definitely. I'll definitely take him back. How many episodes of the pod did we do last season where we're like, damn, guys, if we had Lukaku instead of Dzeko in this position, what happens, guys? You know, like, I don't know how many of our episodes that we were saying just that. So I never thought, even in my wildest dreams, even after the infamous interview where you regretted coming to Chelsea and leaving Inter the way he did or whatever. Even after that whole interview, I never thought, even in my wildest dreams, that we would have the slightest chance of bringing the guy back. Now we're hearing that he's distanced himself from his agent. He has an attorney representing him now, and he's negotiating personally, and he's willing to take a pay cut. Like, that to me, it's like it brings the chances of bringing him back to 50-50 to me. Like, because usually when you're doing a transfer, it's usually like, you take the player. You take care of the player. If the player is happy with the wages, whatever agent fees, and then next you got to convince the club. So we already have an agreement with him. He's taking a pay cut, and now let's wait for Chelsea. But I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I doubt that Chelsea would be willing to do us a favor because they just paid what, 115 million for this guy last summer. I feel like at the very least they will ask for an expensive loan fee, which we're probably not going to be able to pay. But it's good to see us trying. And if we can make it happen, I say we make it happen by any means necessary, because this guy is exactly what we need. When we missed him sorely last season.
Yeah, but you know, when he left, I mean, that was Abramovich's money that bought him. This is someone else's money in there now. They have no skin in the game. So if Lukaku wants to leave, I mean, they might as well.
That's a great point.
That's how I've been looking at it.
Yeah, but I've been looking at it more as a balance sheet type of issue. Like, you know, looking at your spending, she's seeing this big $115 million loss, you know, that from the season before. And I think one of my boys, he's a very big Chelsea fan. He told me that they decided to keep Marina as the person that takes care of their transfers and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to be too good for us, because we didn't do her any favors last summer. I mean, we made her pay the premium price for Lukaku. So
let's see how
it develops.
Yeah.
Inter usually never sells their best players. And when they do sell them, it's because of the will of the player. What we have now going in our favor is the will of Lukaku. And I think that's the second most important thing, besides, you know, if the club decides there's no deal, there's no deal. But if Lukaku wants to come, and I think he does, very much so. We saw Pastorello getting fucked and Lukaku getting a lawyer to represent him. It's a very hard deal, like very, very hard for us. But there's a chance. Like, if there's a will, there is a way. And I think...
Do you think so, though? Do you think it's a hard deal for us? Because it feels like we have the wages there, especially with Perisic refusing the $6 million that we're offering him, Vidal leaving, Sanchez, Vecino's already gone.
I don't think the wages are a problem. I think the fee that Chelsea may want is the biggest problem, because they paid 115. Yeah, but if it was 3 years ago and the value is amortized, they can sell him for like 30, 40 and not make any losses on it. Mm-hmm. But they sold him
fresh.
And the amortized value is not that high, and they have to sell him for much more to get him to be zero.
To break even. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what if you do? I've seen propose, you know, 2 year loan, then that gets you to that 3 years amortization. I mean, I'm saying words that I don't even have know what they mean.
you're right.
You get it down to that 50, and I've seen that has been a projected like.
Yeah.
Option, you know, golden handshake, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just
I've seen a couple people discuss that as well.
There's no way he comes in any other way other than 2 year loan and then option or obligation to buy. Like,
but here's my thing. Hold on, bro. I'm sorry. I think we got to do a little research on that, because somebody was saying that 2 year loans are not legal anymore, or something like that. So we have to see, because you know the UEFA is always changing rules.
Yeah,
I know. But, you know, it was illegal to own a player like 50-50. They made like a loan deal to buy and then obligation to buy. Then obligation was on the books and now you have to find another way. Then it's, you know, option to buy. Option to buy after certain games. Option to buy if Inter qualifies for the Champions League. There's always a way around everything.
A way around it. Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, it could just be a 1 year loan and then you renew the 1 year loan again and then you throw that obligation on the second loan.
Yeah. I'm sure Auxilio can find a way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I saw a comment from, I think it was Mattia, that was something I was interested in. I think Christo had something about it the other day too. He said that should we go for Kostic as a substitute for Gosens? I at first was really really big on that, especially Kostic is free to go from Eintracht Frankfurt for 15 million, I think it is this summer. And for a player of his quality, that is a cut rate price. But Christo, I think you had a good point on that, if you want to expand on it.
Remind me of that one.
Oh, yeah. You said that it was mostly about Kostic's age, that he should go somewhere else. I think that was you that had that take, right?
Maybe, but like I can take over just because, you know, Kostic is a very fine player, and I don't think he wants to be on the bench, especially when he's in the prime of his career, mm-hmm. you know, playing Europa League finals, winning them, winning matches, being excellent with Serbia, and so on and so forth. He doesn't seem like a player that wants to sit on the bench and just watch and collect the money, as I said, now that he's in his prime. So I've seen rumors flying around that Juventus may be interested in him, which, you know, makes sense because their left back position is ass for all options that they have. But you know, if Kostić arrives, or if there's a possibility, I would be happy, because there's no other way to find a better substitute for Gosens, because Gosens Kostić on the left wing would be amazing. But the player that I've seen, you know, rumors flying around for many clubs in Serie A is Udogi. Udogi has been amazing for Udinese, and I thought he was older. I thought he was like 23, 24, 25. He's 19. And he's homegrown. He's Italian. So that, you know, it's a fucking win-win. And if you can get him for 15 million with inclusion of players, that would be, you know, a deal of the year. Because getting him, settle in for a few years and then start him and get Gosens on the bench when Gosens starts to regress, or if there's a possibility for that, that would be amazing. But Kostić coming in, I don't mind that. I just don't think it's feasible financially for us, because we are not able to pay a price for players right now. And Eintracht, being a club from outside Italy, doesn't seem like a club that would give out their best player on a loan, or, you know, option to buy in a year or so.
Yeah, it makes sense. Once you start talking about ages and stuff, I was like, all right, yeah, I get it. On other names I've seen linked, other than Udogi, who I think Udinese will put a pretty hefty price tag on, is Indra Hari here said it. Andrea Cambiasso or Bellanova. I forget what Bellanova's first name is at the moment. But those two guys are the much cheaper two options. I think Bellanova is closer to ending up at Juve. So Andrea Cambiasso seems to be the leading option right now.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I like both players. I like both kids. But the only issue is, from what I've seen, Bellanova is right-sided. Some on Inter Twitter have told me that he does play on the left as well. But from the few times that I did see him, he does stand out on the pitch. Playing in the shit team, he's super fast. He seems to have technique. He always looks up before he delivers a ball. You could tell that's a player that has a talent, so I wouldn't mind having him. I don't know what that left foot is like, though. You know, Cambiasso.
Positive thing. He's also, sorry, Dave. He's like 6'2", 6'3", and he's a Milan Primavera kid. So
that means he has the fundamentals. You know, when you come from a big team's Primavera, that means you probably were taught the right way. That's good. I mean, I wouldn't mind having him. You know, stuff like that, it also adds to banter. Let's say that he does come and he ends up being good. You know, we could pull up some pictures of him in the Milan shirt and have some tweets firing off. But Cambiasso, honestly, it's a player that I feel meh about. He's more like he's like a Darmian type of player. He's a safe guy. I don't see him making mistakes that hurt his team. And I rarely see him being the reason his team is playing well either. He's very sound fundamentally. He gets the ball, receives it, makes the right pass. He doesn't make mistakes. So that's probably why we want him. But I don't see him as a guy that has a special talent that's going to blow up in a couple of years. But you know how it goes. Whichever one we do get, I do hope that is the right choice and that he does end up being the best out of the bunch. And Udogie as well. I think Juve have been working on him for a while. So
yeah,
I'd be very surprised to see us being able to undercut that deal, especially given our financial situation, you know?
I've seen a rumor flying around that they might be interested in Udinese, might be interested in a Gume swap for Udogie. And that's the only feasible thing that I can see. And the rumors flying around about Juventus, I think, are very valid. But at the same time, Alexandro, honestly, is shit. Luca Pellegrini has been average at best. So them going for a 19-year-old with half a decent season, doesn't make much sense. I think Kostić to Juventus makes a lot of sense. For 15 million, getting a left back, left wing back that can play like 3 years at the top level, that's a no-brainer. And yeah. Villanova, just to go back, has played three games this season, out of which 25 as a left wing back, only three as left wing right wing back, 25 left wing back, three, two as right back, and one as a left back. So he doesn't seem like a left wing back. I wouldn't experiment with that. If I had to choose a player, I would go with Udogie, being a replacement for Gosens. And yeah, Kostic to Juventus makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, would you do that swap with, including Hagumero? Because I don't know. I don't want to let go of any of our kids before we actually get a great look at them and we could tell that they're not up to our level or the level that we would want them to be. You know, Agume, he came. I mean, this kid was has been making noise since he came as a 17-year-old, 16-year-old. You know, so he came as a highly rated player, and I think we beat Bayern to him. City were interested, so he's been a talent that people are expecting him to blow up. So let's not just get rid of him like that, especially not over, like you said, Udogie. He's a kid that had a good half a season. The backup wing back is not something that we need to be going broke for. Let's just get us a safe player, you know, maybe a Matteo Darmian type of player on the left, you know, and then hopefully we Gosens could replicate his form, and I'm sure he'll be very motivated. Again, he was left off the squad of Germany for the Nations Cup or Nations League, whatever it's called, those friendly games, and you know he's gonna be motivated to not miss out on the spot on the World Cup. So I'm sure we're gonna get the best of Gosens next year, you know, so we don't need to be going too crazy over the backup, in my opinion.
Yeah.
One more thing I wanted to say about Kostic to Juve. Do you think he really fits though? How is he as a left back? Because Allegri plays mostly a 4-4-3, I mean, a 4-3-3 or 4-4-2, sometimes 4-2-3-1, you know. How is he as a traditional left back? Like, is that something Juve would want?
No, I think they would probably actually go for someone more defensive because of how Allegri can be, unless you're going to play Kostic as a pure winger, which I think he's done in his career. Yeah, he probably actually, to think about it, will stick with a three at the back team. Maybe Lazio comes back in. I know that they were supposed to get him from Frankfurt once already, but there was an email sent to the wrong person or something like that, because that's always what happens with Lazio. But yeah, there's a lot of moving parts going on all throughout Serie A, I think, this summer. I think it's going to be a lot of movement from all the big teams. Juve is going to have to do a lot to strengthen. Milan, with the way that new ownership looks, they might be picked off for a couple of players. I know we've talked about Leao to PSG as a possibility already. You know, Roma's going to continue to improve. Mourinho's going to build off of that Conference League win. Mkhitaryan has been linked to Inter. I don't really like that deal, to be honest.
Why?
Let's unpack. You want to get him first? Well, first, we're the brothers of the world. Let him speak his mind. Why do you not like the deal, Mikey?
I mean, I get he's cheap. He's a backup, whatever. But, like, do we really need another cheap old guy from Roma? I mean, Dzeko, we got last summer. He was great for half a season and then was a corpse for the second half. If he's coming to do that, I mean, even you go further back, we had Kolarov come from Roma on a cut deal and just was not.
He's the same, though.
Argentina are literally
getting. They just missed.
Oh, it was a miss. But I thought it was in for her because they've been peppering Italy. I don't know if they're not motivated or if it's really that difference of quality between the two teams. Italy are looking like amateurs right now. But yeah, Mikey, here's what how I feel about Mkhitaryan, just to give you a little pushback. I feel like we actually improved the squad a bit because I see him as a replacement of Vidal. We have 35, 36 going out, right? And we have 33-year-old Mkhitaryan coming in. And this is a guy that could be a backup to Hakan. We all say it here all the time as well. Like, damn, the minute we take off Hakan, we know that this midfield is done creating anything because we don't have any creative players. So, and Hakan can't play 90 minutes. So having a guy like Mkhitaryan, who did very well in the league as a starter, playing those kind of roles in the middle of a 3-5-2 or 3-4-2-1, whatever Mourinho was using at times. I feel like he could be a very good asset for us. Bring him in at 75th minute. He's still got pace for his age. He's very technical, can create some moves. Yeah, I feel like he's a good player that we've been missing since last year. If we had him last year, I feel like we could have done more. You know, just improving, continuing to improve that backup midfield. That's what I want, you know. What do you think, Risto?
Look, my favorite saying, American saying, is jack of all trades, master of none.
Master of none.
And that could be said for Gagliardini, Vecino, and Vidal. Except they're not, you know, experts or anything of some sort. The point being, Gagliardini and Vecino are basically the same player with more and less brain. Vecino leaving the club and being replaced by X, you know, it's a good thing because so far we don't know who that guy is, but I think he's an improvement of Vecino because Vecino was unusable this season, like non-existing.
He hasn't played at all in the last two seasons pretty much for Inter. I know he had a pretty decent knee injury at one point.
This season, yeah, he did. He was injured, pretty big injury.
And Vidal has been underwhelming, to say the least, with the exception of the goal against Juventus. For a player earning $6 million a season and one of the top earners at the club, I would say underwhelming is an understatement if you put it in that way. Mkhitaryan coming in younger, I think in a better form and overall not finished yet, for half the salary, I think it's a win-win because, as you guys said, he could be a replacement for Çalhanoğlu. When Çalhanoğlu gets tired for 30 minutes, he would be amazing. I wanted to push back on the Dzeko point because Dzeko may not be in a good form but he has still like scored 13 and assisted 6, 19 goal assist, goals and assists at 36. Coming on to the Scudetto winners and being a direct replacement for Lukaku, definitely there's no way to replace Lukaku, and you cannot replace him with Dzeko. But for what, 2 million, like 19 goals and assists? That's that's the best possible scenario. Dzeko is not the one to blame.
No, he definitely exceeded what we would say would be fair to expect from him. And again, guys, like, let's give ourselves credit. I keep remembering every conversation we have on this pod. I remember in the beginning, you know, even when Beppe was twerking, saying, yeah, we replaced Lukaku with Dzeko and there's no difference on the pitch. Like, we were still here saying, guys, we're relying too much on this guy. We're relying too much on this guy. At some point, it's going to bust. And that's what happened. At some point, his body caught onto him and he became a 36-year-old guy. And we saw it on the pitch. He was towing himself around, trying to move. You know, like when you're trying to press, and Dzeko is just trying to get like kind of ghost, like a ghost, trying to come to you to see if he'll make you pass the ball because he's not gonna make the effort. You know, it's ridiculous. That's what he was. But again, just to pick it back of what Risto was saying, I feel like, knowing that he's a 36-year-old guy when we bought him, 36, I think he exceeded what we were expecting from him, like almost 20 goal contributions. That's something that he exceeded. I feel like where our season went bust is Correa. I feel like obviously that's where we banked on. That's what we banked on because literally the balance sheet says it. We spent $31 million on this guy. So I'm sure we expected him. Maybe Inzaghi said, yo, there's something there. I can bring it, make him work with Lautaro. I can this, I can that. And he was injured for the majority of the season. If not majority, but that key part of the season where we needed him the most, he was injured. And I feel like that's where the season went bust. It's not Dzeko. So if we want to blame a guy, let's blame Correa, not Dzeko. he overperformed.
Yeah, yeah, that is fair. But I was just using it as an example more of just being the older guy who, you know, will have that run. But if we have to rely on him, it's going to be a problem. I think that Mkhitaryan, yeah, he can be serviceable. I just hope we don't have to rely on him at any point. If we have to rely on this guy, like he's starting more than a match every few weeks, there's something wrong in the team. I don't think that is sustainable.
Just think of what Vidal offered and just think of him as a replacement of that. Just that first midfielder.
Vidal brought some physicality, though. I don't see...
I agree. Vidal was more like a full backup for Hakan because we just don't have another creative midfielder. So we would plug him in that same position, left center mid as Hakan, and he would try to do the creative things. But I do agree, he's more of a Barella replacement when you think about the kind of player he is, physical guy and stuff like that. But we just didn't own another creative guy.
Yeah, well, that means we're going to need a Barella replacement this season, this offseason too, then.
Well, that looks like that's going to be Bobby Gagliardini. Yep. Because this guy is not going anywhere. Let's be honest, guy. I'm not going to sit here and buy into you guys' dreams of maybe selling him. I know he's not going anywhere. Bobby Legend will never die. The sooner you accept it, the better your mental health would be. So let's talk about other players.
All right. Since
we're in the midfield, let's stay in the midfield. Brozo replacement, Aslani.
Yeah, I'll take him. I mean, I think the only problem I have with it is it's a young guy that's going to spend a majority of his time on the bench.
On the bench, yeah. Good point. Risto, you had an interesting reaction when I brought it up. What's up?
Another name. I think if I was a scout, I think the most important attribute in a player, a young player, that, you know, cannot be, first of all, can be upgraded, but you are born with the composure. Either you are composed as a player, as a person, or you're not. Agüero at 17 in the preseason was. He has been in those matches. Like, he looked like, I don't know, a 37-year-old veteran that has played 20 years for Bayern and won 10 trophies in a row. He just has that posture, and I love him, if I'm being honest. I love his style, and I think he's the best player to be a replacement, direct replacement for both Brozo and Barella.
I think he's going to be the heir to one of them, though. I think is what Inter are shooting for. With the way that we don't see him linked to coming as a backup, it seems to me like we want him to develop into a starter. Rather than
a fair point, but I'm honestly afraid that we are going to flip him for another young player and he'll blossom there, just like Locatelli was with Milan. That's honestly my concern, and I think that's the most feasible thing that could happen. Because I can see Inter flipping him off for, I don't know, 25-year-old that will warm the bench and be fuck off in two seasons while Agüero starts the league and goes to Bayern and makes an amazing career. We've seen so many examples of those kind of players, and he's just one of many, and I don't want him to be, because I honestly like him. That he's the only player that I have had hope in the past, like, I don't know, fucking decade. To be actually a starter that actually came out of the club while he was 17 and, you know, learned the craft at Inter, at other clubs. And the track of his career just makes sense, because he was at Inter, he was loaned, didn't work out that well, went to Ligue 1. He was really, really good this season. And go back to Inter, learn the craft on the bench, and next season you get, you know, more and more playing time. It just makes sense.
Yeah, like, crazy about Agüero. Every stat you look at of the top young midfielders is him and Tchouaméni that you see. Like,
awesome.
head to head, you know, as far as young midfielders in France last year. So he had a tremendous season. But again, like Mikey brought up when I said Aslani, is just an issue of a young player that's going to be sitting on the bench, because we know Brozovic, salami. This guy is not going to take any time off, you know, and I don't know how that's going to work. So yeah, if I had to sacrifice one of the two, I would go ahead and send Esposito to Empoli, because that's what's being rumored, and get Aslani back, because I still think that he's a very good talent. See if he could work it out. You know, like, I'm sorry, you play on the Copas, you play against the relegation sides, and maybe we could start pulling Brozo 70 minutes in, 60 minutes, 65, just to give him some rest, stuff like that. Those are the minutes you're going to get, and you have to prove your talent and make the best out of him. I probably would do that, because I'd rather have that and have a guy that, damn, maybe he could even be better if he gets to play. I'd rather have that guy and have that regret than to have no Brozo replacement at all like we had last season. And we know exactly what that did to us.
If we sacrifice a Gume and get stuck with Aslani, I will be very disappointed.
No, so what I said
in that's being stuck, though, I still think they're both very good players.
Well, but I don't think they're the same. They're the same caliber, right?
They're not.
As far as the hype, okay? Because let's be honest, I think that's why Mikey's looking at us like that. Because Aslani just pretty much showed it in the season, like, okay, he's a good talent in the Serie A. Whereas when we did loan Agüero in the Serie A, he was struggling for playing time and stuff like that. You see what I mean? So if we're talking about hype, you know, Agüero was a France youth team captain, big talent. All the big clubs have been following him since he was a teenager, stuff like that. He's a bigger name, but now it comes to a point where you have to start showing it. So I guess that's why I would say, like, Agüero is probably a bigger profile, but as far as showing it, Aslani just showed that he could do it in the league.
Come on, that's not feasible. That doesn't matter. Don't be one of those Premier League, oh, he showed in the league. Who gives a fuck? He was young. He was like 18 at the time. And he's played like, let me check.
It was last season. It was the season before. Yeah, it was
literally. That's crazy.
17 or 27 senior appearances this season. This was his first year in, like, senior football for Aswani.
23 games, 1,300 minutes. Agüero played this season 27 matches, 1,870 minutes. So basically 50% more than Aslani has played. Nonetheless, I like Aslani.
Well, luckily we haven't seen Agüero linked away any yet.
It's not.
Maybe even what we're talking about is not even gonna matter. Maybe you can keep Agüero and still bring in a guy like Aslani for the meantime, and that could be a stopgap. Mm-hmm. Sell him on, whatever, and then you bring in Agüero, and that's your guy. Because what I've seen a lot of hype around now, because of the Inter Primavera winning the Scudetto yesterday, is Casades and the Carbonis of the world now have some eyes on them.
Ilyev.
Yeah, Ilyev. Those are guys you can easily get for 5 million. You can knock some prices down with, like,
that's the thing.
This is a barter system now. This is not. Absolutely, we've regressed as a society at Inter. We are now a barter society.
And what sucks is, like, I honestly, as soon as I watched the game last night, the Primavera final, the bug automatically. It bit me, you know. Every time we watch our Primaveras, we see a young player, we're like, oh shit, this is the next this is the next that, you know. And we really we failed to realize that, like, making a jump from Primavera to even to Serie A is a massive jump. Okay, so I wouldn't be opposed to us using all those kids as bait for Plus Valenza. Probably not Casadei and Franco Carboni, because those two guys, they look legit. They already look like grown men amongst kids. But everybody else, in my opinion, especially if it means that we get to keep Bastoni, we don't have to sell Lautaro, I would use all those kids, pile them all up together, see if I get 40 out of all of them. You know,
you never learn.
We've done that.
What do you mean we'll never learn? The only thing. the only thing we can do or we should do, matter of fact, I would sell all of them, but those two, Casade and Carboni, I would make sure I negotiate a good buyback option. That's it. But right now, it's not guys. I don't think neither of them could help us realistically. Because, guys, we're not Bender era anymore. We're guys that were, I'm sure that once the season starts, we're aspiring to be right back to winning the Scudetto. We still feel like we can win it. And we're aspiring to go further in Europe. Exactly. So I don't think those kids, they move the needle more or less for us, you know, right now, honestly. And I watch the games and they do look like big talents, but let's not overestimate what we're seeing in the Primavera.
I just see them, yeah, more as negotiation than anything. I mean, I think one of the Carbonis interest me the most just because they've been called up to Argentina.
I think they say they did that just to prevent Mancini from calling them.
They get playing time? Did they get into a match then? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, then Mancini could still call them up.
Could still call them because they haven't played yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. But still, yeah, those are about the only two. I mean, I know Casade, I think that's a tall dude, but like, I mean, when they showed him, he still looks like he's built like a straw. Like, he's not ready for first team football yet.
Yeah, he's just tall and he has the frame, you know, like,
who?
I guess Casade.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he could be a player, but he's still a couple of years out at least from, you know, a loan somewhere. But I mean, coming up, we had or to move elsewhere with, you know, trying to make the budgets that we have to make. Monza won the promotion playoff and instantly that triggered a buy obligation for Di Gregorio, the keeper. So there's a $4 million there. I know they want Pirola. Uh-huh. That'd be another $3-4 million. Then they're also interested in Sensi. If you get 10 there, I mean, there's 22 million, 21 million.
Yeah, the money's going up. I think, yeah, that we had an option for Pirola at $7 million. I think they're trying to negotiate that to 3 or 4 right now. That's what it is. I feel like we will give it to them because although Pirola was another one of those players, very hyped. And we loaned him to Monza and he couldn't get any minutes in Serie B. So, you know, like, let's not get too crazy about those kids, you know?
They always get me, though. I still remember where most of the guys ended up that were on that Primavera team with Pinamonti that won the Scudetto. I still keep track of those guys. I'm like, where'd they end up? And most of them are in like second division of like the Netherlands and places like that. Like, it never works out. But no,
the crazy thing is, I think it's because Zaniolo is still so fresh that we don't want to repeat that mistake. You know, that's where we're at. But I feel like other than that, how many Primavera players can we really point to and say, yo, we had this guy literally in our hands when we lost him?
I mean, has Zaniolo been a mistake, though? To me, it's not been just because of his injuries and the way he's been in the press. Like, he's become the tabloid fodder.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's just Sensi with more paparazzi.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can make a valid argument just because Raja didn't give anything to Inter. That's it. If Raja had played like two decent seasons with Inter, then we would have won that deal.
But, well, he did score that goal that sent us to the Champions League.
Yeah, speaking fair. Of that match earlier.
Yeah, fair, but like talking in a grand scheme of things.
Yeah, he definitely underachieved. I know what you mean. I agree.
Yeah, even though I liked Raja, and I do like him now, retrospectively, it was not a very good transfer, but selfishly, I wanted to see him with Inter. Look, the biggest... I think it was Nima or someone else that said that on the Sempre podcast like years ago, is that Inter doesn't create superstars, but they create really good Serie A players. Full stop. That's it. Like, you can go club to club and you can see, oh, this guy, oh, he used to play for Inter. Oh, he's an Inter Primavera. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, they're usually the ones that burn us.
Yeah.
Faraghi,
Duncan, Biragi.
Yeah, those kind of guys.
Faraoni, to name a few. But I had the biggest crush on Daniel Bessa, and I remember Stramaccioni calling him up after that Inter team won the Champions League, was it, or something of sorts, and he fucked up his knee, and that was it. He's still a good Serie A player, but I really liked him, like, so much. And that team, that team consisted had players that became a decent Serie A players, such as Mike said, Biraghi, Benassi, Bessa. Like, I think it was Di Gregorio at the time.
I mean, there were a lot of them in the Serie A this season, actually, because we talk about Caprari. Is Caprari? Caprari wasn't a Primavera player for us, right? No, he was just a player that we owned, and we moved them for Skriniar. I don't think he ever got to play for us. I think we bought him. I think we bought Caprari and we moved him the same summer in the Skriniar.
We bought him for 5 million from Pescara, and he played a really good season. He scored like few free kicks at the back end of the season, and then Sampdoria was really into him, and they got the bait. We paid some money for Skriniar, and we got him.
But being serious now, like, we had quite a lot of guys actually in the league from our Primavera. I forgot. Arnautovic was there. Benassi, Santon. Santon. No, did Santon play? Did he play this season?
Oh, not this season. I'm talking in the last 10 years. We have so many players that have played in the league and be actually like decent, average.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't like them, but coaches like them. Spalletti liked them. I don't know.
Yeah.
And just like for reference, Carboni, I can see Carboni is 19 years old and he's only like 10 months younger than Agüero is. Same goes for Casadei. Like, less than like a year younger than Agüero.
Really?
So, yeah, Agüero is March 2002, February 2002, and what was the name? Not Casadei, the other guy.
Carboni. There's two of them. I forget.
It doesn't matter. Both of them are, let's say, a year, 10 to 12 months, younger than Agüero, and that's it. And they're still playing in the Primavera. That just shows you how good Agüero is. And how highly rated he is.
Sidebar, guys. This Julian Alvarez kid, he is special, man. Like, he almost scored a goal from the halfway line, lobbing Donnarumma. The nerves of this kid to even try. You could tell he's one of those audacious players. He's one of those crack talents.
Could have got that guy, man. I wanted him. I was down bad. Down bad for that guy.
Oh, bro, I'm still craving for Casemiro. We were linked to him while he was at Porto.
Yeah,
and something happened, and we didn't, and we barged over like a few million, and then when he went on to sign for Real. Another name that I thought of yesterday when I was looking at the Nations League, I saw Ukraine and I saw Shakhtar's keeper, and he's going nowhere so far.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck happened, bro? Get him in. Get him in on a loan with option to buy.
I think only Inter fans rate this kid because.
Oh, he's actually good.
Yeah, I think
every time I've seen him against us, he's been good.
Yeah, he was good against Real Madrid in those matches with them also. Yeah, I don't know why we haven't seen him linked. I mean, I guess because we already had the deal done for Onana anything for anyone else, who I'm still really excited to see. Like, I think that's something that we've taken for granted because it's almost been a done deal for a year we've talked very little about Onana, but he hasn't given us too much to talk about because he was pretty underwhelming as he's tried to get back up to full speed after a suspension. But I'm still excited for that guy. I think that's going to be really interesting. Dybala still being rumored. Are you more or less confident now than you were weeks ago on that deal? Like, but just because nothing's come out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty confident actually. And ironically, I am confident. I am more confident because I haven't heard anything. You know, it's because it kind of feels like you know Beppe and his eye situation when he did a little wink, you know, like, yeah,
he's always got both eyes on the prize.
Yeah. he was like, yeah, Dybala, oh, very good player. Would he play for Inter? I hope so. Very good player. You know? And earlier before the match, Zanetti said the same thing. Like, is it Dybala, great player, grandissimo. I would love to have him at Inter. So.
Well, I know Lautaro had a little smirk when asked about Dybala as well.
As well, right?
There's been a little bit of smugness around everybody with that.
Yeah, poor guy. I mean, he's about to come in right now at the 90th minute. But yeah, I'm pretty confident that it is gonna go down. Although the initial reports were that okay, we're slowing down on him and trying to see if we could pull off Lukaku. I don't believe that at all. I just believe that it was just somebody using that Lukaku news and the lack of news for Dybala as like a clickbait.
I think both are possible because, I mean, with all the wages going out of the club and the reductions, I mean, they're still you can still have a lower wage and bring both of those guys in.
I don't think both are possible. While keeping Lautaro, to be honest, and of course, you know, we're gonna have Dzeko. We talk about Dzeko. We're gonna have Dzeko a year older on our payroll next season, and he's due a raise. He's gonna go up to 5.5. You know, so if we could find a way to dump that, which I don't see how, like, nobody's going to buy him. I don't know how a buyout would work in his contract. If it would
be
even
retire? Could he just retire?
Like, this guy's not going to retire. I don't know if we have some connection to Inter Miami or something. Somebody come show him the life he would be living in Miami, something like that. One way to get rid of him. But realistically speaking, guys, that's something that we're probably going to have to carry for another season at least. So that's why I'm saying that. I believe that we probably already made the offer to Dybala and it's on the table and we're just waiting. We're just being patient. And if we pull off Lukaku, I think we may be able to, we may be forced to sell Lautaro because realistically, I don't see starting those three guys. And those are three starting caliber players that are going to want to start every time they fit. So you don't want to create a problem. I think if we get both of them, we're going to sell Lautaro. If not, it's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, fair.
You don't think it's possible to get rid of Correa?
I don't think so. Not for what we would want for him. You know, I'm sure a team would gladly loan him from us. You know, for example, or 10 million, 15 million. But realistically, we just paid 31 for him last year. Anything below 20, to me, in my opinion, is not something you could even look at. I don't think anybody's going to spend 20 million on Correa after he just had another season mostly injured again. You know, that's been the theme of his career. So if anything, his price is plummeting right now. He's not at Sensi level yet, but he's plummeting very fast.
Yeah, he's trying. He's trying his best to get there. But also, what's some other news that's been moving kind of slowly? Bremer, I know, is still up in the air. And I said in our group chat I think it was yesterday that I think if we get Bremer and Lukaku, I think that's the Scudetto right there. I don't think it matters too much where anything else happens in this team. If you have your marquee striker and you have two shutdown defenders in Skriniar and Bremer, no matter who's beside him, I think that's it for this.
Yeah, league. And to add to that, Mikey, you should also bring up Onana as well, because I'm sure you guys. What I love is that most of our guys are on Twitter and they know what we're talking about. I'm sure you guys seen that graphic on Twitter showing the saves, and Andanovic was bottom left of guys that conceded goals from non-dangerous shots. Pretty much, he was the
The most goals scored or the most goals conceded from the worst XG.
No way. Really?
Yep.
Andanovic being shit.
It was a Champions
League. No way.
It was Champions League graphic, yeah.
No way, bro.
Andanovic
being shit is it.
He's being sarcastic, Mikey.
Okay. I don't know.
He's just being an asshole, bro.
we didn't need a graph for it. No. Like,
I'm sure
it was bad.
Oh, okay. Sharma said it was for UCL. Still, that's something that was alarming, and I'm sure I remember. We remember the goals he conceded against Liverpool, for example. That they were not good goals to concede. But I wanted to add Onana because, like, if we have a competent goalkeeper, those two shutdown defenders, like you mentioned, Mikey. Even if we end up having to sell Bastoni, and having Lukaku there, that shows that pace is still 3-0. Pace is still king. Pace is still king in Italy. Dybala, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm going to Twitter. Pace is still king. Pace is still king in Italy. I feel like Lukaku comes in, gets himself into shape, and you pair him with Dybala or Lautaro, or even if he ends up playing with Correa most of the time, I feel like would be great. So I agree, Mikey. Very good point. What do you guys think? If we do get Bremer in, and to pair up with Skriniar, and you get Lukaku, and what do you guys think? You guys think we're automatically favorites for Scudetto? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm still 100% on that. I'm not gonna leave that boat. If I will buy into the Lukaku hype a second time, especially, you know, with how much he's pushing for this move. I think there's motivation. I think if you have a motivated striker, I mean, and he can still bowl over defenders to the point that he does, that we know he can do, then, I mean, there's no stopping this guy in this league. Especially if you have the best defender that would maybe shut him down, because I think Bremer could have put a number on Lukaku. But, I mean, with him out of the way, I mean, who's going to stop him? Smalling again? I guess maybe.
Koulibaly.
Koulibaly, of course.
Koulibaly is always going to be there, yeah. Smalling, I'd like to see him against the Milan boys, although he did get to play Tomori last year and he pretty much ragdolled them in that 3-0 game. But let's be respectful, guys. They're the champions, and they won with
fuck
the best,
them.
They won with the best defense.
Fuck off.
They won with the best defense.
I know what you're saying.
They won with the best defense. I mean, they still have the best defense, so I would like to see Lukaku against that Kalulu Tomori tandem, you know. So, yeah, let's see,
run trains on them.
So what are we looking at currently as your projected starting 11 for next season? Does anyone want to start with that?
Go ahead, Russo. I'm tweeting.
Hopefully, Handanovic in goal.
Let me go first. Let me go first. He's starting wrong.
Do you think Onana will start first fixture 13th or 12th of August? Yes, no.
No.
Mike?
I believe he'd probably be a starter by mid-season. I think it's already even been announced that they're gonna Inzaghi plans on rotating them. So yeah, that's what we're gonna see. We're gonna see like almost like a Napoli type of situation. When it was with Meret and Ospina, or we could do the same about PSG with Donnarumma and Keylor Navas.
None of those situations work.
Unless Onana comes into camp like a damn Thundercat, like catching everything, you know, reflexes out the ass. Unless he does, then I'm completely fine with easing him in into a new system, a new team, and all that, you know. But now it's gonna be a situation where, when Handanovic concedes one of those stupid goals where he tries to use his laser vision, we have somebody on the bench where we could just riot, like, hey, we want Onana, you know? So, yeah, go ahead, Risto. We wanted the starting 11. You didn't give us all of it.
I mean,
one.
I think it's very early. I think Handanovic starts game one of the season, whether we like it or not. I think in their eyes, he's the safe choice. In our eyes, not so much. Skriniar is a guarantee. I would like to see Bremer and Bastoni, but Bastoni might be shipped off, which, you know, we still have no news on that. I think there will be more news in the coming weeks as the month of June just progresses. I would like to see Dumfries start or at least stay at Inter for the foreseeable future because he just started playing good and the season ended. He had a a few months at the beginning of the season where he needed time to settle in, to learn the league, to learn the on and offs and whatnot. I'll still think that Barella, Brozic, and Çalhanoğlu start in the center of the midfield. Gosens is a sure starter on the left. Up top, huh? Lukaku Lautaro?
Ooh, Lula's back.
Wouldn't that be something?
Okay, well, my turn. Personally, I do believe that Handanovic is going to be our day one starter, but I'm going to give my starting 11, let's say my mid-season starting 11, when things are really getting in the thick of things and we're talking about going into the second round of the CL, stuff like that. I expect Onana to be our starter by then. Skriniar on the right, Bremer in the middle. I'd probably have, realistically speaking, since we need the money, I'll still have Bastoni there as our left center back, because he put his foot down. I don't think he's gonna move. We're probably gonna have to kidnap him and move him. He doesn't want to move. After the rumors intensified, I'm sure you guys saw, he posted on Instagram near Azzurri. He posted the tattoo that he had of the San Siro and all of that. So he's made it clear that he doesn't want to move. So I'll say Bastoni's still there. Or midfield still intact, starting midfield. Of course, Brozovic, Barella, and Çalhanoğlu. Gosens obviously on the left. Dumfries, I think he's gonna be here still. There were little rumblings of Man U wanting him, or even Bayern. If Man U does want him, we could definitely cash in on that, because you know they got money.
I think he's too smart to go to Man U, though. I don't know who looks at Man U. I mean, other than I know Ten Hag's there now.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Yep. And it's, I don't know, and I don't see the connection, but I guess just being from being Dutch, but I still believe he's gonna stay. I can't see him leaving after 1 year. He's kind of endeared himself to the culture. You could tell that he likes being here. He likes the fan. He always makes sure to tweet at us after every game and stuff like that. I like stuff like that. So he seems to be happy there. So I say Dumfries, and as far as the attack goes, it's probably gonna be Dybala, Lukaku, and we sell Lautaro for the money that we need. Since I kept Bastoni, we sold Lautaro. That's what I'm predicting our starting 11 to be. What do you got, Mikey? Asking all the questions.
Yeah, I think I can live with that. Mine's probably gonna be very similar. I mean, to both pretty much, but yeah, I'll just put Onana, just because I think that's going to be who starts more of the matches next season. I think we'll see. You know, he'll start out in, like, you know, maybe our Champions League matches. Then we'll see as the season goes on, Handanovic moves out of the Serie A starting role and moves into starting in the Coppa, maybe starting in the Champions League as things get later on, just for some balance. But I think Onana's going to have more starts. Then you're going to have Skriniar, because I've even just seen today that he's been in the media basically making sure that he's gonna stay. He's making sure he's gonna stay.
Like, I retweeted that article. I mean, those somebody I translated some of the quotes. I retweeted that, and I said this guy's been campaigning to be a captain for 3 years, because he's pretty much saying, like you said, Mikey, like, yeah, he's talking about Hamzik, a guy that stayed at Napoli for most of his career and stuff like that. He said he would love to do the same. He loves being here, blah, blah, blah. He's looking forward to winning the Scudetto. Everything as a fan you want to hear a guy say that's your captain, he's been saying it. So I'd be very, very disappointed if they manage to give it to Barella or something like that, something crazy like that next year.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, you got,
or even Brozovic, because we saw when Honda was hurt, it was Brozovic, surprisingly, that did get the armband. So I don't know what that means, but
I mean, it's just something to see. And I don't think Skriniar seems to care about the armband. He's never said that he wanted it. He's just said that he wanted to be at Inter, and he's like, "Yeah, I've got a contract. I'm not leaving. I don't care about the
money." No, but he had the one interview where after the match that he did get to wear it, he was talking about how much of an honor that was. How heavy, he said the armband was heavy on his arm. He knows what it represents, stuff like that. Yeah, he kind of hinted at it, but I don't know. Either or, I hope you're right, Mikey. I hope if he doesn't get it, it's not something that matters to him. It's not like something that makes him discouraged or makes him feel some type of way, and he keeps giving us 1,000%.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got Skriniar, then Bremer, then I guess it would be very risky to sell Bastoni just to lose both of your two of your starting center backs. And I can't really think off the top of my head anyone who would come in. I know I've seen some names, but I can't pull them off the top of my head. So I'm not going to go out on that limb yet until I see anything concrete. So I'm going to leave Bastoni there for now. Then you, I think you have to keep Dumfries because that's one of the guys that has the very professional mentality, the very strong mentality that you can't, you lose some of that with losing Perisic. So you still have to have that coming from somewhere. Richard. And so having him, still need to have Dumfries. Then Barella, Brozovic, Çalhanoğlu, our own version of BBC. Gosens on the left. Up top, Lukaku. And I guess you have to say Dybala because you've got to get the money from somewhere. And that's your one lump sum right there that you won't have to worry about anything else. So I guess he could go. I know Barella's been rumored to go. I don't think that's going to happen. We know who the two most eligible are, and it's going to be a coin flip between Bastoni and Lautaro to see who goes. But I think Bastoni stays, at least for now, and Lautaro's the one that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we both agree. What did you say, Risto? Did you say Bastoni is the one that's going to get sold or Lautaro? What do you think?
I mentioned neither of them, but if I had to choose one,
he put both of them in his starting lineup, didn't he?
Yep.
So you're not selling nobody.
No, I just trust Morata to
to figure out a way out.
Yep. To fuck the system once again. It's easier to find strikers than it is to find defenders, world class defenders.
I agree, but would you say Bastoni is quite there yet as far as world class?
Neither is Lautaro though. I don't think Lautaro is a world class. Would you put him in the top echelon of strikers?
Absolutely not.
He'd have to be at the bottom of the top if anything, but I don't even know where that would be.
I mean, if you're talking about 10, guys, listen, we did promise we're doing fantasy ball today. Let's do a little 10 fantasy ball. Can you name 10 strikers better than him in the world right now?
Lewandowski, Benzema, Haaland. Uh-huh. Is Mbappe a striker?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, he plays through the center most of the time, no?
I guess you can give him that, Mbappe. Vlahovic, yeah.
And
Leao? Leao's not a striker. Winger, right? He's a winger, yeah. And even then, I wouldn't say he's better than Lautaro, because Lautaro just scored 22 goals in the season, and Leao barely cracked 11, so no.
Oh, thank you. You just made my argument for Leao. I can use that against you in the future.
But for a winger, those are great numbers. So, whatever.
No, Giroud was their striker this season for the
Harry Kane.
Yeah. Oh yeah, how can we forget Harry Kane? We're tripping. Yeah, definitely. Kane, definitely. Lukaku. Kane is top three to me. You said Kane, Lukaku, still so 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're still at 7.
There must be like few, bro. Like I wouldn't put Lautaro in the top 10. Like let's be honest.
He's giving me the smile, but you can't give me names.
No, but like, would you consider Mane? I think
Mane is not a striker.
No. Or would you
Salah put is not a striker?
I mean, who could we put there then?
Salah striker for his
team. Strikers aren't really, it's not really that many strikers out there. That's the point I was trying to make.
You know? There must be. Let me go through. Who does Atletico have?
Cristiano, somebody said. I guess now he is a striker, so
Griezmann. Joao Felix?
Nah, neither of them.
No, I mean, Griezmann's been like a center forward, but he's not better than Lautaro right now. Griezmann hasn't done shit in 2 years. Like,
I don't think Felix is ever going to live up to that price tag that he got. That's going to be
tough. Timo Werner is not better than Lautaro. You know?
Agreed.
Yeah, so guys,
if we're doing Cavani still, maybe?
No way. Not better than Lautaro. If we're doing the top 10 right now, best strikers,
Lautaro, I guess he's got to be like 8th or 9th.
He has to be in it.
Yeah. You can't say it. I just
I'm getting some shouts there. Somebody said Patrick Schick. How did he do this year? I remember he had crazy numbers.
He had a great season. Yeah, he hasn't had as many seasons at that level as Lautaro has had.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick, like, do you want me to read Schick's number this season?
I know he had great numbers. I know he had great numbers, and I know
ready for that.
I know the Bundesliga is. It seems to be like where you go to score a bunch of goals. Because whatever, what's his name? The kid that flopped in at Milan, Portuguese kid Silva. He's killing it over there as well. You know, Nkunku having crazy numbers. Like, please, you're not about to start hanging Bundesliga numbers over my head right now, because I don't respect the Bundesliga.
Wow, for a guy that supports a Serie A club.
Okay, fine, but okay, even if you want to give him Schick. Right, it's still 8-9.
I'm still not putting Schick over Lautaro.
I'm not putting Schick over Lautaro.
I'm not. So guys,
24 goals, 5 assists. That's 2 more goals.
Exactly. Lautaro, right? Yeah. That's still good numbers, but
no. Lautaro, I think in all competitions hit 30.
Wait, Mike. Wait a second. Schick.
Because he scored a bunch in the Copa.
In the Bundesliga, he scored 24 goals, assisted 3 times in 27 games. 27 goals and assists in 27 games. He only played 27. And he had 27 goals and assists. I think I like Schick as a player. I've always had liked him. And just because of his style of play, I don't think he's better than Lautaro, let's be honest.
All right, so see, my point stands. I don't know, guys. Maybe it may be for a lack of quality strikers going around. But right now, if you're doing the top 10 of strikers, keyword right now, Lautaro has to be in it. You know, if we ask each other the same question in February or March, well, hell nah, man, get Lautaro out of here. But he did regain his form, and he hasn't looked back. You know, starting with that hat trick against Salernitana, he hasn't looked back from then. So yeah, we all just did some brainstorming here, even in the comments. We couldn't come up with 10 strikers better than him. So
I refuse to believe that. I don't
know. On his football manager database.
The Benfica kid, Darwin Nunes.
I'll put him in there. I'll definitely put him in there. Osimhen, maybe? No. Abraham?
No. Tammy, maybe.
Not top 10 in the world.
Come on.
Okay, maybe. He's around. He's got to be around same echelon that Lautaro. He's got to be zeroing in on
I don't think so, because we just saw Lautaro dominate on a national, on an international level as well. A goal and an assist for Argentina. I don't think Tammy even gets call-ups, you know, so that's... That to me means Lautaro is still hovering above those guys.
Tomori really gets called up for England, and he's better and the best defender that England has. So I think international call-ups are not really a measurement of how
good a player is. I think they still can, though, if you perform.
It can, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, I guess he's got to be, 8th, 9th in the world? I mean, if you add Lukaku, I mean, you're going up to, a top 5 striker? I mean, because I think you're looking at one or the other at this point. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to see. But, okay, we'll have to get these 11s up. We'll have to make some kind of graphic. We need to post them
and on stick Twitter. To them.
Every week, if something changes, we have to compare it to what we had. So that's going to be our running. That's going to be our running summer thing. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for today. Got an extra 15 more than usual just with our brainstorming. It's been good. It's got me excited.
It was fun. I had a good time for sure.
Weeks. Yeah, definitely. Is there anything anybody wants to close with?
Just make sure you play the outro. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Hopefully by the time we're back, we have some development news on Lukaku, and he's inching ever so closely to Inter.
Yes.
Yeah. Next time, Dave's gonna be wearing the Lukaku shirt instead of having it in the background. All right. Well, thanks everyone for a great episode. Thanks for all the comments. It's been really fun. Happy birthday to the pod, and we'll see you all in the next one. Brothers and sisters of the world.